All right, so I want to talk about the Frankie Edgar Pedro Munhoz fight. I thought personally it was a great fight, great performance by both men. Now, whether or not the judges got that right, I don't know. I got to rewatch the fight again this morning, and my thoughts were kind of the same, and I still didn't know who won the fight. Now, I think maybe the toss-up round could have possibly been that first round. You look at the scorecards with the strikes, and it said that the strike counts were even at 23-23, I believe. But in my opinion, I thought Pedro was predominantly controlling the fight. Now, I want to say one thing first. Frankie Edgar is an all-time great. He's a legend for a reason. Three different weight classes, wins in all three different weight classes, and he's been at the top of the helm, and he's a former champion, and he's fought for world titles in just about every single weight class he's competed in, except for 135, which could potentially happen should the UFC play the cards the right way for him and give him the right matchups. I think his boxing is still phenomenal. He still has some speed. He has a little pop, and I think now he's not dealing with guys that are way bigger than him who are able to crack and have that height advantage as well as the power advantage as well with the size and everything. So I think this is a good opportunity for him in the near future. He is 38 years old, so we do have to wonder and question how much more of this he can possibly do. I know he says he has a lot more fight left in the tank, but at some point, you want to start planning your exit strategy. I'm not saying in terms of financial. I'm pretty sure Frankie's well off financially. I'm pretty sure he's done the right thing. I'm pretty sure he has a proper team around him who's making sure, you know, he's got Ali. And if you know Ali, you know he's probably always got some hustling scheme up his sleeves. You know, I think Ali's got that all covered for him. But in terms of exiting the right way, maybe having your farewell fight and going out with your hand raised. There's only so much longer he can actually compete with these younger dogs before you start to see the diminishing return, so to speak. Father Time is undefeated. That's always going to be fact. Not saying Frankie can't compete physically, but the mental and the post-fighting career after effects. That's the thing that he has to consider for himself, his family, and the longevity of being able to take care of his kids and being able to play with them when they get older. All that type of thing. That's the same thing I think about constantly. I'm 31 years old, and I'm already looking at that in terms of when I want to get out of the game. But to go back to the fight, I thought there was a lot of interesting things. Frankie had the speed. He had the combinations. And I think he had the wrestling entries, which he was able to make it a little bit different. He didn't shoot too much. I think Mark Henry was kind of telling him, hey, let's add in some more takedowns. I heard him calling for Renee 2 something. And you know, Mark Henry's got he's a mad scientist who has his lab of notes for every single fighter in his camp. And he has all these different strategies and stuff like that. So it's crazy to see that these guys can actually still keep up with all these codes and terminologies and things like that. But I think Frankie fought a tough fight. He fought a well game plan fight. He ate a lot of leg kicks. I thought that was significant enough on Pedro's behalf, and I thought Pedro was landing the more significant strikes. It's like I always ask my brothers, I ask my friends and stuff, if you're watching a street fight and you see someone kind of just touching somebody up, pop, 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 and they just kind of finesse, but they're not sitting down on their punches where it's like, oh, he rocked them. But then the other guy throws one bomb and it connects, oof, and you're like, oh! Whether or not you get dropped, you get staggered. I think Pedro was the one landing those strikes. I'm not saying there was a ton of those, but I thought in each individual round, he was the one who landed those strikes where it's like, okay, that was a lot more damaging than the other punches that Frankie was throwing in those combinations that were flurries, but they weren't landing flush. Not everything was landing flush in those combinations. He would throw 3-4 punches, and usually it would be the third or maybe the fourth punch that landed, and Pedro was doing a good job of covering up. But with the times that he did get cracked, like I said, those third or fourth punch combinations at the end of the combos were the ones that were landing flush against Pedro. With that being said, Pedro showed his durability. I think we realize one thing with Pedro. He's not the fastest fighter, but we know he's going to be there for the duration of the fight. We know his leg kicks are very devastating. And I will say, I think he got away from those leg kicks a little too early. And then he starts to go up to the top of the head, trying to headhunt a little bit more than he should have. I think if he stayed the course with those front kicks, where he started to really find a home with his jab. And you heard him making the kiosk every time he was throwing that jab out. And those were stiff jabs that were landing against Edgar. And I want to say in that third round when he came out and made the adjustments, his corner told him, hey, let's not try to kill the punches. Let's just try to touch him. And you hear him, Kia, huh, huh. I know that's going to sound a little weird on the, but you can hear him really put some emphasis behind those punches and behind those kicks. And he was really starting to find a home for those. Frankie did a good job of countering Lynn, that left hand, and had some beautiful uppercuts in there. Again, very competitive fight. I don't know what to make of it. I can't say there was a winner, and I can't say there was a loser. I will say Frankie was able to compete at a very high level at the 135-pound division against a very tough and durable dude and dangerous dude who knocked out a former champion in Cody Garbrandt, took out Brian Caraway in the first round, went the distance with Brett Johns and dropped him a couple of times in that fight. Almost dropped me. Almost. But, you know, I had to tighten up and get on my bike a little bit. So for Frankie to go out there and perform the way he did, I think that is something to applaud. And I think he did a very good job. And I think, like he said, you know, I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing. I'm going to go home with my sons and I'm going to eat my burgers. You know, he had a pretty funny New Jersey accent. But I think that's what it's all about. You know, so he went out there, third weight class, got the win. I think he looked good for everything considering the fact. I thought that was a favorable matchup. Even though I did think Pedro was going to win, I just thought Pedro's power would eventually sink in and the calf kicks would stop him, which was happening. But again, Pedro got away from it. That's always hindsight's 20/20. But favorably in terms of the matchup, I think on paper, Frankie has the better and more evolved skill set in terms of the boxing, the footwork, and the speed. I think that makes for a dangerous combination for you to get on your bike and touch your opponent up. But at the end of the day, I thought Frankie would get slowed down from the kicks, which he did. You saw him start to limp a little bit, and then you saw Pedro kind of abandon the kicks and started going up for the headhunting. And again, like I said, I thought Frankie was better on paper, and I don't want people to say I'm going back on my pick. I picked Pedro to win. I thought he was going to be the younger, more fresher fighter. Like I said, the calf kicks are huge. He doesn't have to be the most technical, but he knows what he's doing, and he can take the shot. He's willing to eat 2-3 punches. And you heard Dominic Cruz even talking about that, just to give you that one. He just wants to give you that one shot because he knows he could put you down. Other than that, I didn't do the whole breakdown yet. I'm going to touch base on that tomorrow. I'm going to try to. We're about to have a date night with the whole crew. It's not really a date. I'm just calling it that. But I just really want to get my thoughts and opinions out there on this fight. I thought, like I said, I thought Frankie fought a good fight. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here. Like I said, I think the UFC plays the cards right. Like, and here's the other side of the other side of the coin. Let's play devil's advocate. Let's say in a different world, Jose Aldo beats Peter Yan. Jose Aldo's a champ. I know Dana was saying that they were going to make the title fight before this fight, but they were honestly waiting to see how good Frankie was going to look before they gave him the shot. Apparently, he didn't look as good as Dana wanted him to look, and he said Frankie's got some things to work on, which I think is a fair assessment. I don't think he needs to work on anything. I just think he's in a tougher division with a lot of fast guys who are durable, and I think that's going to be something that he's going to see with everyone in that top 10, even the top 15. There are some good guys in this weight class. Aldo wins the belt. Frankie beats Pedro, and he looks good. Do you do Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar 3? You know what I mean? But obviously that didn't happen. So the hindsight's, like I said, 20/20, it's a different situation. So it's just fascinating to see how all the pieces fell into place. It's like the gods kind of just, MMA gods just moved out of the way and just created a path for me and said, Dana, you will not fuck this man over anymore. Boom! Funk got next and Funk got next. But yeah, so that was one of the things I was thinking about. So, as you guys probably heard, I am getting the next title shot. Dana said it. You know, he kind of sounded like he was on the fence about it. I thought I was listening to Mr. Feeney on the fence. He wasn't sure if he wanted to give it to me, but he's like, yeah, you know, more than likely it's going to be Sterling. Motherfucker, who else is it going to be? Stop playing with me, Dana. Stop playing with me. So the fight's going down. I'm not sure when. I think Petey Yan's got to sort out some things. I obviously want to get myself primed and ready for this. This is a big opportunity. And, I talked a lot of shit. Whether or not that was going to get me to fight, I was going to talk the shit anyway. That's just what I've been doing even since the beginning of my career. I like to hype the fight up to kind of give it a selling point to get people more involved and emotionally invested. That's just always my thing. I grew up in a neighborhood. I grew up with a ton of brothers and sisters. We talk shit to each other. This is just what we do. We break balls. We talk shit. You got to back it up or you get made fun of. And that's just the bottom line. So that's really just how it is. And I got my brother here. It's just whatever, you know. So people are like, oh, you're talking shit. We'll go back to these tweets. All right, go back to the fucking tweet. I don't give a fuck. I'm going out there to win. I'm putting in the work now. My training camp has already started. In my eyes, my training camp has already started. I'm lifting, getting the body primed up, oiling up the machine. And by the time the fight comes, you know, I don't know if it's going to be October or maybe possibly December at the end of the year, which I would prefer. I think Pedion is trying to get his situation situated for that. I know he wanted to get on that Khabib card with Justin Gaethje because obviously he's getting pay-per-view points as a champion. So he would think that Khabib will sell out a pretty good number of pay-per-views. So being on that, he gets a piggyback off of that and give that card more star power in terms of two Russian fighters and myself and the Jamaican push that we're trying to get. So I'm super excited about it, and we're going to keep this gravy train rolling. 5-fight win streak right now. I fought the best guys in this division, and I put them down. You know, I put them down, or I left no doubt. You know, 30-27s all across the board, some 30-26s, some nasty finishes in there, and I think I've earned my place. Now I just got to go out there and do it one more time, and this time it will be for UFC Gold. And for the idiots out there who's saying that I'm not Jamaican, I'm American, are you damn? My parents are from Jamaica. My grandparents are from Jamaica. I was born here, and I was raised with Jamaican roots, not your American cultural ways. Yes, America is a great country, and I love it here. I grew up here, yes. But at the same time, my principles and my beliefs, my ethnicity is not American. It's just not. You know, you could say, oh, but you had all these American things. Yes, I did. I'm not discrediting any of that. But at the end of the day, I'm a first generation Jamaican American. So shut the fuck up. Let me embrace my culture. Your parents are probably from Italy. Your parents are probably from Poland or probably from Germany or whoever the fuck knows where your parents are from. I don't tell you you're not that. If you were born here, your parents are from there, you are first generation. So shut the hell up and embrace your culture. We all know the American country was built on the backs of immigration. So please stop talking this nonsense and stop trying to give me history lessons on my page. It's honestly, that's probably the one thing that's actually frustrating. And I know people are going to probably hear this and they're going to probably try to start attacking me and just start trolling me this way. I'm just not even going to give it any more energy. I gave it enough energy. And if you just don't get it, you don't get it. I'm a proud Jamaican American. And like I said, I'm going to be the first Jamaican UFC champion. So mark my words. Mark it down in the books. Mark it down in your calendars. I'll let you guys know when that fight's coming. So hit that like button. And I'll see you guys soon. I'm going to go eat. And I'm about to go maybe have a little bit of tequila. Peace.